come to the cross to join these soldiers who had the terrible task of nailing our Savior to the cross and then sitting down and watching it all. They were guards. They were called upon to guard the cross, to guard the very scene until it was all over. And they could declare with assurance that Jesus was dead.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I count it a great joy to bring you the message of the cross today, because we are going to visit Calvary. We're going to look at that scene where our Lord Jesus was dragged by the bitter anger of men to carry his cross, and there upon Golgotha's brow, they laid it down, placed our Savior on that rugged wood, stretched out his arms and feet, and with that hammer nailed his feet and hands to the cross. I can see them lifting up that Roman gibbet, setting it in its socket right there in the rock, and high lifted up in the heat of the noonday sun, our Lord Jesus hung in deep anguish. Crucifixion, the most horrible means of death ever invented by man. And our Lord Jesus endured the suffering, but also the cruelty and the curse of that cross. And he did it for us. He was our substitutionary sacrificial lamb, dying in our place. And today we're going to take a deeper look at what it meant for Jesus, the Son of God, to suffer in our place. I hope that you will stop what you're doing, that you will just take a moment to ponder with me the depths and the gravity of the Son of God in his dying. Even as darkness shrouds around, the sun is blotted out, and men go about their evil work of nailing the Savior to the tree. Stay tuned as we turn now to read this biblical account of Jesus' death.
Our Bible reading today, we're going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 27. We'll not be preaching today on the Christian armor, but on this section on the suffering and the death of our Lord Jesus. Matthew 27, and we'll commence to read at verse 24. Matthew chapter 27, and the verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were these two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they had heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Let's unite in prayer. We'll ask the Lord to help us in his word today. Our Father, we thank thee. We thank thee that we come to one of the highlights of our faith, to sit and gaze upon our Savior. Oh Lord, we just want to say that we love thee. We love thee, Lord, because you first loved us. You loved us that you left heaven's glory to come all the way down to this sin-cursed world, to bear the shame and the scoffing of men, to take the nails, the thorns, to take the agony and the pain, and to endure the wrath of God due to us. We can never praise thee enough. And so help us today to take it in. And forbid, Lord, that we should do this mechanically, thoughtlessly, but that our hearts will truly be full of considering and meditating on our Lord. Oh, meet with us, we pray. Give help in the hearing, give help in the preaching today. We call upon God, the Holy Spirit, to fill us for this work. Work for which no man is fit. without the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, breathe upon us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want us to come back to Matthew 27 and to look at the verse 36. I'm going to preach textually today, looking at these words. And sitting down, they watched him there. On this communion service, we come to the cross to join these soldiers who had the terrible task of nailing our Savior to the cross and then sitting down and watching it all. They were guards. They were called upon to guard the cross, to guard the very scene until it was all over. And they could declare with assurance that Jesus was dead. And today, as we take the cup and the bread, as we focus on Calvary, we are going to borrow the eyes of those soldiers. And we're going to look at the scenes they saw and listen to the sounds that they heard as we meditate upon the death of our Lord Jesus. Sometimes I fear that we get so bogged down into the doctrines of atonement, propitiation, and the distinctions between justification and sanctification and all those things about redemption that we lose sight just of the basic facts of what it took for our blessed Lord to bleed and die upon that Roman gibbet that he might be our Savior and our Lord. And so today I want us to grow familiar with the sights, the sounds, and how our Lord suffered that terrible death by crucifixion. And we're going to join these soldiers just for a few moments. We're going to look at these words in verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. I'm going to make each word a point. I'm going to divide this sermon into 4 points from 4 key words in this little statement. Sitting down, they watched him there. We have the place, there. The person, him. The people, they. The posture, sitting down. The place where the Lord was crucified was an appointed place. This mount, Golgotha, Calvary, is the same mount that God showed to Abraham when he commanded him to take Isaac his son and go up into the mountain and offer him. And we are told that Abram took Isaac his only son and obeyed God, went into the mount and would have gone through with that sacrifice. That mount relates, in general terms at the very least, to this mount where Jerusalem was built and where our Lord Jesus was crucified. So it was an appointed place. For 1,500 years from Abraham, God had in mind that place. In fact, from eternity, God had that place in mind, that his Son would leave heaven's glory and come down into this world, take a human body, be hated, despised, rejected, and there that he would be led out to be crucified. The gate out of which they led him in the city we know was the North Gate, and it was also called the Sheep Gate. Our Lord Jesus went to the cross as our lamb, as our sheep, and as a sheep to the slaughter. He went voluntarily in submission without any protest because he came into the world to do his Father's will. And God had appointed the place, he had appointed the time when the fullness of time was come. God brought forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he would become a curse for us. That brings us to the accursed place. It was an appointed place. It was an accursed place. If you look down at verse 33, you will see that when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, Golgotha. That is to say, and the scripture interprets it for us, the place of a skull. It got that name, of course, because of its topography and its appearance. When you gaze upon it, there was the very shape of a skull. But it was also the place of death. And before our Lord ever arrived, being led out to die, Golgotha was the place of death. Calvary is the Latin term for skull. And our Lord Jesus was led out to that accursed place. It became for our Lord even more accursed because he was to die on a tree. And to every Jew, that was the accursed thing. And so in all of these ways, there on that hill called Calvary, appointed of God, our Lord Jesus was made a curse for us. And we are called to remember this. And as Isaiah told us, that he took our iniquities. He became a curse for us in dying in our place. We must ponder that this morning. If we dare take the cup and bread and not have in our minds this curse that Jesus took in our place and in our behalf, we miss what this is all about. Now, it's also an acclaimed place. Thousands and millions of visitors have since attended Calvary. Today, the tourists come in their busloads wanting to see the place of what is officially known as Gordon's Calvary. There is another place that is attributed, but Gordon's Calvary is the authentic. And they come to see the place, to look at that hill where the Lord Jesus died. And that's ever been the case since the first century. Because this death of the Lord Jesus could never be denied. Such was its publicity. Such was its record. Such was the reality of the death of Christ on that middle tree, that even first century Christians who were alive and knew the stories and knew the place, they wanted to come and see the site where the cross stood. And of course, adjacent to that is the garden, the place of the tomb, and to see that the tomb is empty. And as we remember our Lord Jesus, we must let all of this history soak in. Because every Christian is an historian. Because we are followers of his story. The story of a Savior who came from heaven to bleed and die on a cross. That he would endure death to give us life. That's the gospel. That's the facts. That's the ABCs of where we get every doctrine, truth, and where the blessing flows into our lives. And of course, as you take the cup and bread, you are saying, we are blessed from Calvary. This goes back to a real place, a real history, a place where God punished his own son. And so think on the place. But we also are led here in this wording, sitting down, they watched him there, to think on the person, him. Of course, he was no ordinary person. And we know that thousands upon thousands died on Roman crosses. The Romans were the artists of crucifixion. It was they who perfected it. I think it was the Egyptians who first used it. But the Romans perfected crucifixion. As people approached the city of Rome, when enemies were brought as slaves, many were put to death. The Appian Way was lined with crosses and victims squirming upon that cross in cruel deaths. And so it's not the wood and it's not the rock and it's not the nails and it's not the legends or the tradition. It is the person that makes this death and this crucifixion special. He is, of course, the Son of God. In verse 39, you will see the mockery where people said, if thou be the Son of God. That's the mockery. And in all mockery, there is an element of truth. But of course, they were unbelievers, these mockers. But they heard it, and they knew what he claimed. They knew what he preached. They knew that the Jews had rejected him because he claimed to be the I Am, the Son of God. And it was for his person that they hated him. And they were indeed murdering God in the flesh. And that is the reason for the extremity of the crime. But it's also the reason for the sublimity of his atoning work. And we come today as Christians to gaze upon the blood and to look upon that body and say, this is my Savior, the bread of life that came from heaven to suffer, to bleed and die. And of course, it took the blood of God to wash away my sins. That's the gospel story. Nothing else can wash away our filthy, guilty sins but the blood of Jesus, because he's God. The blood of the apostles could never take away sin. No doubt they were true men. They had the gospel. They were disciples of Christ. But their dying on a cross could never redeem the world. It took the blood of an infinite person, created in our nature, with a real human body, to bleed salvation for sinful men. If you look at verse 42, you will hear again the jabs of the mockers, and you will see how they focused on the person. He saved others. Himself he cannot save, if he be the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. And verse 43, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, and here are the mockers, here are the people who clapped and cheered and pressed on and encouraged the crucifixion. He said, I am the Son of God. To them that was mockery, to us this is our devotion. He died as the Son of God for me, for my salvation and my peace. He's also the Son of Man. And that was the most common term that the Lord used when he referred to himself. And you'll find that in the four Gospels over and over again. As the Son of Man, he is our man, related to us in human form. He is our man in the flesh. And he is our representative man, the second Adam, who by the covenant of grace, that divine arrangement between God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus took our nature, became man, a federal head to represent every one of his people. And everyone who will believe and plead that blood, so that there on that cross, Jesus was our man, dying in our place.
There is something powerfully personal about the cross work of Christ, that Jesus was our man suffering on that tree for our sin. And once we come to recognize the awful condemnation of sin and how God in his holy wrath hates all sin and must judge sin, then we begin to understand what Jesus was doing when he offered himself as a sacrifice to pour out his blood to make atonement for sin. Atonement, of course, means to reconcile. And on the cross, Jesus was paying the price that he might bring you and God together, that you would be at peace one with another, that your sins would be removed, remitted, pardoned, remembered no more, and that God would treat you just as if you had never sinned. That's the gospel. Thank you for listening today.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, he is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio, when once more we let the Bible speak.